The state unveils its plan for shuttle ferries for the Upper Lynn Canal, and an interview with freshman representative Jonathan Price Tompkins. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. New Lynn Canal shuttle ferries will be 280 feet long, seat about 300 passengers, and operate no more than 12 hours a day. Part, but not all, of the car deck may be open, and the ships will have no staterooms or crew quarters. That's according to a draft design concept report prepared for the Alaska Marine Highway System by Anchorage-based Coastwise Corporation. Officials say it's one of several steps in the design process for what's being called the Dayboat Alaska Class Ferry. Deputy Transportation Commissioner Ruben Yost said amenities will be limited, including food service.
What we envision at this point in time is vending machines. So it would be similar to what we have on the fast ferries in terms of amenities. So there won't be a cafeteria, there won't be cooked food, but there'll be food in machines and drinks in machines, most likely.
Hulls and decks will be configured so vehicles can drive in one end and out the other for quicker loading and unloading. Yost says ships could carry 53 large vehicles, but not all would be undercover.
Essentially, the vehicle space for the last 15 vehicles, if the car deck was full, would be in an area that we're saying potentially could have an open roof.
Yost says high walls and other design elements will protect against ocean spray. He also says the vehicle deck is usually not full in winter months when wind and waves are at their worst. Marine Highway General Manager John Falvey says the ships will be designed for Lynn Canal's harsh conditions. For example, they'll lack sponsons, which project from the side of the hull.
It will not have the sponsons forward, which eliminates a lot of the slamming, and potentially a very flared, what we call an Aussie bow, which will deflect the spray. And we feel that a vessel of these characteristics will have, you know, a very good seakeeping ability.
They would be built to sail at an average speed of 15.5 knots. That's about the same as other ships in the fleet, except the fast ferries. The design document estimates the final design could be completed by next November, and officials hope to keep costs within the $117 million budget put aside by the state for both ferries. Falvey says plans are to build two identical vessels.
You know, the shipyard is, in essence, you know, lofted up and tooled up as far as the particular class of vessel that they're building. You can throw a lesson learned and experience factor into the second vessel. There are actually many savings that, you know, we will see on the second vessel if we were able to sign a two-ship contract with a shipyard.
The draft plan will be presented to the Marine Transportation Advisory Board and the House and Senate Transportation Committees this week. The report is also online at the State Department of Transportation website. Opportunities for public comment will come later in the process, the state says. We'll have more on the report on Wednesday evening's newscast. When he ran for Alaska House last year, Jonathan Christ Tompkins visited each community in his district knocking on doors. The strategy paid off. The 24-year-old Democrat won a seat in the legislature by just 32 votes. And now that he's been on the job 6 weeks, it's becoming clear that Christ Tompkins' busy campaign schedule wasn't a sprint so much as the start of a marathon. KCAW's Ed Ronco sat down with Christ Tompkins in Juneau for a report.
Today, the 24-year-old freshman Democrat gets to the Capitol at 7:55 a.m. with two meetings already under his belt, one at 6 a.m., the other at 7:30. Next on the schedule is a committee meeting.
So it starts in 2 minutes.
Christ Tompkins puts on his tie and jacket and dashes down the hall to the staircase.
Are days usually this frenetic? Yeah, I started to... there's not enough time in the building during the business day, so I've taken to scheduling 6 a.m. and 7 a.m. morning meetings.
He ducks into the State Affairs Committee. Today, it's a presentation on the healthcare system for state employees. The rest of the day includes a Fisheries Committee meeting on derelict vessels, a Minority Caucus meeting, a flash mob protesting violence against women, a Transportation Committee meeting, and then visits with an official from BP and local elected leaders from Anaktuvik Pass, Haines, Pelican, and Sitka, all of whom are in the building today to lobby their lawmakers, and about 8 hours later...
Okay. Is there right now if I... Okay, I'll just be like... 3 minutes?
No problem. Okay.
After running down to the legislator's lounge for his first food of the day and then running back up to his office...
It was a very long 3 minutes.
What do you have?
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
He finally has time to sit down and talk. I ask him how holding this office compares with what he expected when he was running for office.
If I close my eyes when I was a candidate, I couldn't picture that I'd be waking up at 5:45 to get down to the 6 a.m. meeting to get to this, get it to that, and, you know, going to the lounge to scrounge some leftovers before. You know, like, none of that would have been in my mind. I never could have pictured that, unless I'd worked here as a staffer or something, which I never did.
But what's the bigger challenge to the way you're doing your job? Being a freshman or being in the minority?
Freshman.
Why?
Everything's a learning curve. And the biggest divide in this building, from what I've seen, is not party affiliation, it's geography. It's coastal versus rail belt. Juneau is not Washington, D.C. The biggest surprise I've had since coming here, and I very consciously tried not to have expectations before coming here, is how collegial this place is. And it's surprisingly bipartisan. They're very meaningful working relationships.
During the campaign, one of the primary arguments not to vote for you was that Southeast would be giving up a lot of power if you were elected. Do you feel that's happened? I mean, how's that shaken out?
Yeah. Southeast and coastal Alaska. And, you know, I think we think in terms of Southeast Alaska, but really our compatriots from Kodiak and Bristol Bay and the YK Delta are just as important to our cause as we are to theirs. Lost a tremendous amount of power. And I would argue, and I think almost everybody in this building would agree, that the biggest power shift was not the defeat of Bill Thomas, who I ran against, but the loss of the Senate coalition.
The Senate's bipartisan coalition was disbanded after Republicans won more seats in November. Chris Tompkins says that the bipartisan coalition was also the legislature's coastal caucus. The three most powerful senators in the last session came from coastal communities, Kodiak, Sitka, and Bethel. In this session, he worries that those coastal voices are diminished. And although as a freshman in the minority, he does not have a lot of power in the halls of the Capitol, Chris Tompkins says for now, he's just focusing on doing his job well. You know, assuming you do want re-election, what do you hope you can tell people in 2014 at the end of your first term? And how are you going to get there?
I'm running for re-election. I believe good government is good politics. And so performing in this job to the full extent of my ability and working absolutely as hard and as smart and as effective as I can, I think is the best way ultimately in which I can make a bid to have my job for 2 more years, another 2-year lease.
This job seems very personal to you.
Deeply personal. You're representing people. People's lives. The legislation we pass affects people's lives. I can't imagine, you know, more heady stuff day to day to consider.
Our interview ended around 6 p.m., after which Chris Tompkins went to a budget hearing before boarding a ferry for an overnight sailing to Cake. After that, it was back to Juneau for the start of another week running through the halls of the Capitol, sometimes literally. Reporting from Juneau, I'm Ed Ronco.
Shortly after Ed Ronco's interview, we also talked with Representative Chris Tompkins last week, and the lawmaker talked about joining the Bush Caucus. That caucus is made up of 7 Democrats and 5 Republicans and chaired by Representative Bryce Edgman, a Democrat from Dillingham. The caucus also includes Skagway Representative Beth Curtula. The caucus includes legislators from rural and coastal communities. Chris Tompkins said the caucus met recently to draw up its priorities.
That was probably one of the more enjoyable and exciting meetings I've had in the Capitol building thus far, to have that group of 12 legislators from common background, both parties, finding a lot of common issues to work on. So I'm pretty excited for what comes of that session. Right now, that's not public. We're still drafting and finalizing the priorities. But we certainly came to consensus in our discussion.
That was House District 34 Representative Jonathan Chris Tompkins speaking to us from Juneau last week. In high school basketball, the Yakutat Eagles were in the Upper Lynn Canal this past week, taking on the Panthers and Glacier Bears. On Thursday, the Eagles topped the Panthers 66-34, followed with another win on Friday 57-34. But the Eagles had less luck in Haines on Monday night. Glacier Bear girls opened the games with a 41-12 win. Senior Riley Erickson had 18 points with 4 three-pointers, and senior Alicia Young added 8. The Haines boys thrilled the home crowd and finally broke through for a win in the finale, edging the Eagles 54-51 in overtime. The Glacier Bears trailed 37-32 heading into the fourth quarter. Junior Isaac Wing hit a three-pointer late in regulation to tie the score at 47 and force overtime. Senior Cullen Taylor scored 5 of the team's points in extra period. Junior Kai Sato-Franks led Haines with 16 points, Taylor had 12, and junior Justin Swinton scored 11. The Glacier Bears are now done until regionals, but the Panthers are on the road this week. Tuesday and Wednesday, they travel to Angoon, followed by a visit to Cake on Thursday and Friday. KHNS will air all the Panther games with times to be announced. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Ed Ronco and Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. And thanks for listening to local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.